SOS Radio on demand.
It changed my heart.
On demand.
It changes your life.
Thanks for downloading Scott Harrell's podcast.
MarketWatch says anti-anxiety medication prescriptions have increased like 34% over the summer through the pandemic. And now we've been dealing with tropical storms and things brewing in the Gulf. We've been dealing with wildfire all over the country. We're talking with Ben Corson today at SWS Radio. He's an author, pastor of Applegate Christian Fellowship in Oregon. How are you, Ben?
I'm doing great. It's crazy. Out my window, there's wildfires raging. It's all covered in billows of smoke right now. So we definitely are in the midst of a cultural crisis.
I know. The air quality has been rough.
Yeah. And honestly, Kate Brown, our governor, said that there are 36 wildfires raging. This is the worst loss of life and property that the state of Oregon has seen thus far. So we're in desperate need of hope.
That's exactly it. When we keep seeing things in the news and it's just depressing and depressing again and tragedy again, it's like, what do we need to do to sort of reset our hope, Ben?
Well, interesting is neurologically, when you hear bad news, it sticks to your brain like Velcro. So if you're on Facebook and you get 10 comments, 9 are nice, 1 is, you're stuck on the one mean one. And the reason for that is because neurologically, our brain assimilates and latches onto the negative and the bad news. But good news, conversely, falls through the brain like water through a nonstick pan. And what happens is you have to meditate on good news or things that are lovely or true or praiseworthy for 15 seconds in order for it to really stick if it's good news. So I just always like to tell people, pause, take 15 seconds to meditate on the lovely, because neurologically, that's how you're going to be able to compute, assimilate, and comprehend that even more. Because otherwise, we'll just always listen to the bad news that's talked by the media. They lead with bad news because they know bad news sticks.
We're talking about how we deal with bad news and live through it so we can actually have hope and find the good. And we're talking with Ben Corson today at SWS Radio. And it's interesting because a lot of times we shift our focus from problems and we go, what do I do with this? Because then more problems keep coming again and again. And in your new book, Flirting with Darkness, you talk about shifting from the perspective of problems to actually shift into a perspective of God's promises.
Yeah, I believe we can reframe our pain and retrain our brain to actually start focusing on the promises of God rather than the problems that are engulfing and besieging us on all sides. You know, there's over 3,500 promises in the Bible. Promises like he gives you beauty for ashes, which is so good in this time when the West Coast is filled with ashes after all these fires. And when you start focusing on these promises rather than all of your problems, it starts to reframe your pain and retrain your brain so that you can start assimilating good news.
We're talking about Flirting with Darkness today with Ben Corson on SWS Radio. And this whole year has just been riddled with problems and challenges. And it's messing with all of our psyche, even for those of us that haven't had a whole lot of anxiety or haven't really had any sort of clinical depression. There's a lot of us that are thinking, am I going through a season where I'm getting sucked into this? It's so tough on our mental health, Ben.
That's why I wrote this book, because it's not just for people who struggle with depression. It's even for people who have low-grade anxiety. You know, the Bible says anxiety in the heart leads to depression. So basically, if you look at our culture right now, coronavirus has caused nearly half of Americans to say that COVID-19 has impacted and affected their mental health. In April, there was an emergency federal hotline for suicidal, depressed people and anxious people that had a 1,000% increase of incoming calls. Why? Because look at what's happening with the social distancing. Look at what's happening with the GDP, 32.9% decrease, they were initially saying. Look at what's happening with, you know, the $2.3 trillion stimulus package being used up pretty quickly. More people have died in the last 4 months than any four-month period in American history. More people have died due to COVID-19, over 180,000 people, than all the Americans that died in the Vietnam War combined. So it is definitely a time of tragedy for a lot of people. And now these 36 wildfires raging after, you know, racism and civil unrest and all this stuff going on, we're definitely in need of a true, deep, sacred optimism. And that's what I try to hit in this book.
We're talking with Ben Corson today at SWS Radio. We're talking about how we keep hope alive. And Ben, you wrote a book called Flirting with Darkness, and it's really about going on the offense and defeating depression, not just from like an outsider's perspective, but you personally walked through seasons of depression yourself, Ben.
100%. I went through 10 years, actually over a decade of suicide ideation, where I got diagnosed with complex post-traumatic stress disorder after the deaths of my brother and my sister in going through a romantic heartbreak after an 8-year relationship. And you go through stuff that makes you think, man, are things going to be okay? Am I going to get healed? And my message in Flirting with Darkness is, if God could heal my broken heart, and he has, then he can heal anybody's broken heart.
What do you think was a breakthrough moment for you in realizing, okay, I'm feeling some things. I don't know if I'm that guy, but I've got to deal with some stuff, but I need breakthrough.
Well, I felt like a demon from hell came from the netherworld and lit my brain on fire so that my consciousness was in flames. Like the scorpion stings of everyday awareness had become my daily bread. And that's when I honestly went to professional help. And I think one of the things that is very important that we fight against is the stigma and taboo that's attached to people who struggle with depression. You know, some people say, oh, you shouldn't go to counseling or therapy because that's not biblical. I don't know where people got that. I've been studying the Bible since I was in my mother's womb. I'm a pastor's kid, you know? And I'll tell you what, the Bible says in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. I think the more counsel we can get, the better. So I think we really need to remove the stigma and taboo from people who struggle with depression, because even Elijah, Jonah, David, and Job all struggle with depression themselves, and they were some great, great Bible characters.
It's amazing how the enemy loves to speak lies into our hearts, like, you're the only one struggling. I'm Scott on SWS Radio. We're talking with Ben Corson. He's a pastor in Oregon and best-selling author. And a lot of times you hear those lies again and again. You don't even know where they're coming from, but you know it's not true. But you just keep hearing it enough that you start to believe it. Now, Ben, what have you noticed about like pushing back against those lies when you don't even know where they're coming from, but you keep hearing the same things again and again, and they don't feel true, but you start to accept them?
Scott, that's good. You know, the Bible says that the enemy is the father of lies. You know what it also says? That the devil is the accuser of the brethren, accusing us before the throne day and night. So that is the job of the enemy. He's accusing us day and night before the throne. The word devil is initially a judicial term, and it means a prosecuting attorney who's constantly excoriating and condemning us. So that's why I want to encourage people. Remember, there is no condemnation in the Lord. You're in the spirit. You're not in the flesh. So as you walk with, talk to, follow after, lean into, and depend upon the God of hope, he empowers you. He enables you. He ennobles you. He equips you to live a lifestyle of Jesus joy, holy happiness, sacred optimism, calm delight, and you can live out your life with a bold sense of hope, even in the face of everything that's arrayed against you.
You know, as with almost everything else about this pandemic we've been walking through, the statistics, they're not really spread evenly across different backgrounds and socioeconomic classes or even age groups. I mean, the psychological effects are tormenting our younger generation much more than even our older generation. When you really dig into the stats, we've been talking with author and pastor Ben Corson today at SWS Radio. Ben, what do you believe is the root behind this depression epidemic that's really adding so much more anxiety on young people?
Social media. I'm not saying that's the only thing, but that's what sociologists and research is telling us, is that from the age of 17 to around young to mid 30s, I'm 32 years old. And I'll tell you what, we are the social media generation. And what happens is when I am constantly comparing what's happening in my life behind the curtain with what's happening in people's lives in the spotlight, you know, their highlights, and I'm comparing my life with theirs at unfair intervals, and I'm qualifying and quantifying everything by likes and engagement, what's happening is it's toying with my mental health, and I'm finding my value in all the wrong places. And what's even worse is none of us can live up to the Instagram profiles that we create for ourselves more often than not. And so we're all catfishing each other. And that's why when we're trying to project this image or avatar to the world that isn't authentic or true to who we really are, it can start to create this cognitive dissonance. And we have this profound sense of sadness. So I think one of the main causes is an idolatry of iPhones and social media and stuff.
I know. What do we do with that when we're so connected? It's almost like the phone is surgically attached to our hand anymore. Everything we do is connected to that. And it's like you keep hitting that phone button. You swipe again, and then you find you're reaching for your phone like first thing in the morning or right before you go to bed. When you're watching TV, you're watching a game, and you're just like, why do I get so addicted to this so quickly? Like, what do I do to break that?
I think it's important to remember to regulate, because the fact of the matter is a good thing can become a bad thing when it's exalted as a God thing. And what I mean by that is simply this. If you look at a car a car didn't invent motion. Like Henry Ford didn't invent motion. It just sped up motion. We could walk before. Now it just enabled us to move faster. If you look at a microphone, it didn't invent the human voice. It just made the human voice louder. In the same way, if you look at social media, it didn't invent connection. We could be friends before. It just expanded on the already human capacity of connection. That is all technology does. Is it expands upon already present human capacities. But if you turn up the volume on these things too loud, it destroys the very thing it was intended to create, and it implodes on itself. So if you turn up a microphone too loud, you get feedback, and it's actually harder to hear the human voice because of the ringing in the microphone. If you have too many cars, you get rush hour traffic in LA at 5 o'clock, and you can walk faster than you can drive in your Mercedes. In the same way, social media, when it's put in its place, can connect us. But if you turn up the volume too loud and get too addicted to it, then the very connection it was intended to create makes comparison happen. And that actually destroys our relationships. That's why regulating it's huge.
You know, we're emotional beings, and our emotions are directly affected by our external circumstances in a lot of ways. And we go through times where we feel sad, we feel anxious, maybe we feel depressed about something specific. What do you think it is about temporary emotions and sadness that are different than just the eternal security that Jesus brings in hope?
Well, I think it's important to remember that the phrase "a broken heart" was invented by the Bible. So the first time you see the phrase "a broken heart" was in 1000 BC, and it was invented by the psalmist. Then in Luke 4:18, Jesus said, "I have come to heal the brokenhearted." So when we remember that the very invention of the phrase "a broken heart" came from the Bible, in fact, 900 times the Bible speaks of your heart as the sum, seat, and center of who you are. When we remember that the Bible does not wink its eye at our suffering or turn a blind eye to our pain, but that it actually is something that is an empathic book, then what we can remember is whenever we leak a tear, God leaks a tear. Why did Jesus weep before he raised Lazarus from the dead? Because Mary and Martha were weeping. That's what the story is about. So when we leak a tear, God leaks a tear. Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And I just think it's so important for people to remember that when we're going through emotional sadness, we have a great high priest who can sympathize with our weaknesses and our sorrows.
We're talking about taking authority over seasons of depression with Ben Corson today at SWS Radio. And I love how you write in your new book, Flirting with Darkness, Ben, that we have to go on the offense against depression and anxiety. I mean, what are some of the most valuable tools for someone preparing to go to war against those feelings, Ben?
You're right. Jesus said the gates of Hades will not prevail against you. And gates are not offensive weapons. They're defensive mechanisms. So some of the offensive weapons we can take up to be armed to the teeth to storm the gates of hell, one of them is prayer walks. You know, scientific research shows that if you talk to God about your hopes, fears, and dreams, it has the same effect on your brain as therapy. Another one is endorphins. When you go on a 40-minute jog, research says it's the same effect on your brain as antidepressants. In fact, you release these endorphins in your body when you exercise that activate opioid receptors, which are similar to the drug morphine, and act as natural painkillers in your body. That's why I love to do Navy SEAL training with my friend Chad Williams, who is SEAL Team 1, SEAL Team 7. Like, I feel the mental cobwebs just being cleared out of my mind when this happens. Another one is rewrite your story. When you've lost the plot, remember that the Lord is the author of our faith. Spoiler alert, there's a happily ever after. All our days are written in his book, and all tears shall be wiped from our eyes. That's the end of the story. So I actually lay down 11 of these weapons, but there's a little sneak preview.
Oh, I like that. Well, we're talking with Ben Corson today at SWS Radio, and his new book, it's called Flirting with Darkness, Building Hope in the Face of Depression, just released. Thanks for spending some time with us today, Ben.
Thank you so much, Scott. I had a blast, and I can't wait till next time.
Thanks for downloading the SOS Radio podcast. If you enjoy the discussion and want to help the podcast grow, you can make a $10 donation through sosradio.net or inside the SOS Radio app. Thanks for your generosity. It helps us experiment with new things and keep the discussions fresh.